hours to 220 hours, and that would just be for this current comp time year that would end on October 31 of 2005.
Any questions for Ms. Knight? Seeing none, the chair will move the motion, resolution that it, 2005 M1 resolution be adopted. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Those opposed? Fails, the resolution is adopted. Members, next is the 2005 R12 resolution regarding compensation for House employees. Ms. Knight, if you'd like to explain the resolution before members first.
Mr. Chair, members, this is the resolution on compensation for House employees, and what this does is it gives each of the departments a merit pool of money equal to 3.5% of the eligible employee salaries. Employees that would be included in that pool are those who were with us on or before March 1 of 2005. In addition to that, committee stipends, as well as the minimum and the maximum of the salary range, would be increased by 2%. The retroactive pay date would be July 1 of 2005 as an effective date. In addition to that, it also gives guidelines for department heads as to how to award this 2% of the salary up until 4% for exceeds expectation performance. So it does give our supervisors some guidelines for that award.
And members, just so members are aware, I think this is a good move in terms of providing, first of all, the increase for staff, which I think is very much needed. I don't think this increase has actually been approved since 2003. This merit pool, as Ms. Knight explained, does allow some great flexibility and I think discretion among management in terms of all the supervisor areas in each department, House Research, and both within both caucuses. And so I think there's an opportunity here to really allow both caucuses and staff, leadership, to develop staff internally based on how they've performed and do well and give incentives to perform and do well in the future. And so I think this is a good move forward.
Chairman, I do have a question that I describe as technical on line 11 and 12. Now, I understand that if you're at the top of your grid, and maybe this could be explained to Ms. Knight, that you would get some adjustment on the grid, or are you capped? Is it going to be if you're an LA, let's say, at the top of your grid, what kind of an adjustment will that senior LA receive?
Ms. Knight.
Mr. Chair, members, what this allows to happen is that, for instance, since the range would move 2%, if we had an LA that was capped at the current top of the range, they would be able to receive as a base increase up to 2%. However, if they were awarded 3%, they would be able to receive that additional 1% as a lump sum merit. So it would not be calculated into their base, but they would receive that as a lump sum.
And I mentioned LAs, Mr. Chairman, this night, but that would be true then of any of our employees relative to the grid. They would all be going up if they're at the top 2%, potentially.
This night.
Mr. Chair, members, yes, that is correct. That same way of thinking and way of actually applying the salary increase would apply to all staff who are near or at the cap.
Mr. Chair, the reason I raised the question when we define salary then on 11 and 12, then we say that extra duty pay, stipends, or merit pay in excess of the maximum specified for the employee's responsibility level. So that person that gets the merit adjustment that's at the top, my question then, Ms. Knight, would be what is the impact on their, if they're a senior employee that might be in their last 5 years? And what triggers my thought is your reference to the fact that there hasn't been, I have my recollection that since 2002, you mentioned 2003, but whatever the scenario there is, there hasn't been a salary increase other than the bonus that who gave the $1,500. And so those senior employees that might be close to retirement, as I understand this language then, are being capped, at least in my view, a bit unfairly, if I'm understanding that, in terms of their high five on their pensions. Now, it's basically been frozen since 02 or 03, if they're near retirement, and now we're saying here in the language that that merit increase can't be counted in the high five either. If I'm understanding that correctly, and Ms. Knight, you're shaking your head yes, but if you could speak to that issue, and then I would ask the chair if that's something that you'd be willing to think about relative to our senior sure. employees, because they're really being penalized forever and ever from date of retirement until the day they die with slightly lower pension if they haven't been getting these adjustments at all that would count.
Ms. Knight?
Mr. Chair, members, that is correct. It would not be calculated if they were to calculate their high five, since it is not considered salary. We did have a period of time a number of years ago where someone only was able to get to the cap and they didn't get beyond that. And that was at the time we developed the lump sum mechanism to at least give them something to be able to get beyond what the COLA was. But it, the way this is currently written, yes, it would have an impact on their high five.
And Representative Carlson, I'd be happy to look at that in greater detail. I know as we put this package together, we were looking at sort of the financials of what the cost would be going forward in terms of what's built into the base salary and having some flexibility to do an increase again next year, possibly, so we don't just starve ourselves once again for several years. And I know that was definitely a consideration, and part of that will be to see if the health care estimates come in again as necessary. And that's one reason the ranges were adjusted. And so you're correct, if someone was sort of the top caliber of their proficiency level, we're going to give a 4% increase, only 2% would be built into the base. That is correct, Representative Carlson. And I'm not sure what number of employees that would affect, but we'd be happy to look at that as these evaluations go forward.
I'm not either, whether it could be none or some or whatever. I'm not sure if that would really be a major cost item for the House budget, because we would be paying them the money. It's just whether it's counted in their high five. Now, there might be, obviously, an impact to some degree on the state's share, the House's share of, I assume they're not paying into the pension with that merit pay, but there would be the House's share of the pension cost, I suspect. That would be rather minimal, I think, when we're looking at the big picture. The employee would be paying his or her share, and then the House would have to do whatever our match is on that. But I think it's something that, by your comment, Mr. Chairman, that you're willing to take a look at, that we could adjust this language. I won't make a motion now, but I assume that if we were to adjust this resolution, then at some point in the future, where it says or merit pay, if that were to be removed, then that would make the salary adjustment permanent, if you will, for pension purposes, I think. But I'm willing to wait on that, and maybe we can also find out if there's anybody. I'm sure we, with the number of employees, we've got some that are in their last 5 years, and they have been penalized already.
We'll do that, Representative Carlson. Any other?
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Actually, just a comment. I have a corporate background, and I like the direction that this is going. I think this is a great idea, and it kind of follows with some of the QCOMP stuff that we passed for K-12 education with this last session. But recently I was at the MCSL, our National Legislative Conference, and they had a chart that showed the legislatures around the country and the trend with staffing. And the trend is such that the number of staff people has gone down around the country. So I think it's kind of the whole trend in government with doing more with less. And I think, you know, our staff needs to be congratulated for the amount of workload that they're able to carry with fewer staff people on hand than there were 10 years ago, and kind of the overall trend around the country. But, you know, that kind of brings up the question with what about the legislature? You know, I think this last session there was some discussion with you know, legislators shouldn't get paid if we don't get our work done on time. But, you know, following the corporate model, what about performance pay for legislators? What about merit increases if we get our job done early? And I think, you know, if we're going to put ideas like this on the table, we need to be, you know, looking at all the different things. Here at the legislature, our pay has been frozen for 6 years, and I know it's usually Representative Earhart that brings this up, but at some point, you know, since a pay freeze since 1999 for legislators, I think, you know, we need to maybe have a philosophical discussion about we're increasing the pay for our staff, and that many of our assistants have a higher salary than the legislators themselves. And so I'm concerned, Mr. Chair, that perhaps we're making a decision without a discussion about the reliance on our staff more and more, and people that elect us to office, do they really want staff people making the decisions that perhaps should be in the hands of elected legislators who are now making, you know, substantially less pay than their own staff people? So just kind of food for thought. It's just, you know, something I've been thinking about recently.
Other legislators probably have some similar thoughts, Representative Engelstadt. So, strengthen numbers if you can corral them. Any other discussion? If not, the chair will remove the motion that the R12 resolution be adopted. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. As opposed, the motion prevails. The resolution is adopted. Members, next we will go to the R3A resolution on lodging. The chair will remove the R3A resolution on lodging, but there is going to be a change. I think Representative Junkie had recommended some changes based on, I think, what some rural members consider in terms of commitments that they make to their long-term lease. I think if Ms. Knight can read the change to the line, I think in line 7, I think that'll take care of your issue, Representative Junkie, and that'll clarify the lodging requirement, and then Ms. Knight or Mr. Schweitzer can comment.
Mr. Chair, actually, I have the language, so if members will bear with me. On line 7 of this R3A document, maybe the easiest way for you to understand it is to strike the sentence, no change is made to the ending date for lodging reimbursement eligibility. Insert a new sentence, the ending date for lodging reimbursement eligibility is changed from adjournment sine die to May 31st, 2006.
And in essence, members, what that does is that basically figures if we go through the regular adjournment date of when we're constitutionally required to finish in May, it allows members to keep that housing until the end of the month of May. And I think, you know, if we finished early for some reason in April, as Representative Junkie mentioned, then, you know, this makes sure there's still some flexibility in terms of 60-day notices, et cetera. Does that kind of meet your needs, Representative Junkie? Kind of
yeah. Thank you, Mr. Chair. And it does. The problem arises, number one, first of all, it's hard to rent an apartment for 4 months anyway, and you pay a premium for it. But number two, most of our apartment rentals nowadays are 60-day notice. How do you get a 60-day notice? At least you can go in and say, I'm here for 4 months, and give that 60-day. And like this year, when we went into special session, then the House started paying for our hotels after that, and that's another discussion. And we can work on that next year again, some different scenarios on that. But at least for this year, I think it protects us so we don't get stuck with an extra month lease that we have to pay out of our own pocket.
Jay, do you want to put forward any comments on this resolution, or Mr. Schweitzer, or not necessary? Pretty straightforward? Okay.
Mr. Chair.
Representative Chase,
thank you, Mr. Chair. I just have a question then. So with switching it from January 1st to February 1st.
February 1st.
Yeah. Do we have an estimated cost savings for this change?
Mr. Schweitzer, I don't know if you can provide numbers in terms of what 1 month of housing savings provides the House.
Mr. Chair, just a comment as he's looking for that, because I remember the discussion last session with, you know, trying to make some of these changes, you know, it seemed like the cost drivers were really the main reason that we were looking at this, and, you know, I'm just interested to see if it's, you know, how big of an amount it is.
Schweitzer, can you identify yourself?
Yes. For the record, I'm Paul Schweitzer, House Controller. The savings, I don't have my spreadsheet showing the savings, but the savings would be about $1,200 a month for approximately 60 members. Now, some of that, so that on average, that would be the That would be the savings. It will help a little bit. As you know, we've experienced some cost increases from what we're expecting from when we initially did a budget. But we've also experienced some significant cost decreases, and those cost decreases is what has given us the ability to fund the staff pay increases. So I hope that answers your question.
Any other questions? Now, Mr. Chair, we need a motion that the R3A resolution as modified be adopted. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Those opposed, motion fails. Motion is adopted. Members, next is the R13 resolution regarding early separation. Ms. Knight, Chair, move the R13 resolution.
Mr. Chair, members, this is very similar to an early separation agreement that we had used once before in the House. And what this allows the House to do is deposit $10,000 in an employee's health care savings plan account. And that is a pre-tax account that is able to be used for non-reimbursed medical and dental expenses, as well as insurance premiums. If an employee voluntarily ends house employment on or after October 1st, 2005, and before December 1st, 2005, and at the time of termination, they have at least 10 years of employment with the state of Minnesota, this is the group of employees that would be eligible for this. There is one piece of this, and an employee is not eligible for the benefit. However, if they are transferring to another, to other employment with the state of Minnesota.
Any questions from Ms. Knight?
No.
Chair, we move a motion that the R13 resolution be adopted. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Those opposed, motion prevails. Resolution is adopted. Members, there's actually one other change. Well, not change, but addition to the agenda. I talked to Representative Carlson. I apologize. We didn't get it in members' packets. But the Capital Investment Committee is planning a series of tours this fall across the state. Members may have been contacted already themselves in terms of some of the activities for that committee. And so I would like to move that an additional $10,000 be added to the Capital Investment Committee's budget to allow for that travel period. And, of course, if it's not used, it'll get returned or go back to the House. But I think there are three separate fall tours that are planned in a variety of districts, both in the majority and the minority caucus coming up this session. And I think that's analyzed. That cost would help basically make those trips sufficient and doable. So,
Mr. Chairman?
Representative Adams.
Mr. Chairman, I was kind of taken aback when I heard that the Capital Investment Committee was going to be going to the center cities. I don't have any problem with that, but for the Metro members, most of the projects are in Minneapolis and St. Paul, and we weren't invited.
I will follow up myself to make sure that invitations are extensively provided to members to participate in those tours.
Mr. Chair, I'm a member of Capital Investment, and we had very few tours over the last couple of years, so I'm guessing that we probably had at least $10,000 in savings over the past year or so. So I think it's very appropriate to add that to this year's budget.
I think only about $1,100 was spent, Representative. Okay, if not, the chair, no other discussion, the chair will move a motion that additional $10,000 be added to the Capital Investment Committee's budget. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed?
No.
Motion prevails. If there's no other business, that's it, members. Thank you. Representative Carlson.
A minor one you've already approved the minutes, but the meeting on May 23rd, I had requested to be excused, but I did arrive prior to adjournment.
Are you sure, Representative?
Mr. Chairman, Carlson sat right next to me.
There's my witness.
Representative Carlson, we will make the modifications to those minutes accordingly.
Thank you.
Thank you, members.